Hi guys, on this show we're looking at Smith, Traynor, Taylor, Aru, Norman, DeVito, Turner and Douglas. We're looking at 1984's Romancing the Stone.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned from Film. I'm one of your hosts, Planty, and I'm your favourite pig.
And I'm the other guy, and I'm just here for shits and giggles.
Shits and giggles. John, shits and how
or,
are
shits
you?
Shits and or giggles. Good. It's the weather's got a bit better here. It's no minus -7 anymore, so happy days. Taps
yeah,
off.
taps off is something, that's for sure. It's horrible today. And we're recording for the first time in ages during the day.
What?
It's weird, isn't it?
No drinking hand as well.
Just because our lives... I know I'm drinking a soft drink. Because our lives are just so busy. we're the podcast, of course, that tries to learn 100 things from every single film. This week, the patrons have spoken. We decided, because it's Valentine's coming up very, very soon, we decided we'd do something romantic. And so we... covering what, John?
Oh, Romancing the Stone. I remember
that
just ages ago.
The Stone. Yeah, I hadn't seen this probably since I was a teenager. Did you enjoy it, John?
To be fair, I remember watching it, but I remember 1984 was a good year for film, if I remember right, because there was loads of shit going on. I'll just rhyme off a few.
Okay.
The Karate Kid. Ovs. Beverly Hills Cop. Red Dawn with Swayze Daisy.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Resurrection of the Daleks. Where are you?
Oh, right, oh, yeah.
Doctor Who fans. Splash. There's loads of one. Bounty with Mel Gibson and the...
About the chocolate bar. Yeah.
Exactly, aye. The Nibdy Likes. Absolutely Nibdy Likes.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I remember watching it, but I wasn't really into it. It was The Ice Pirates.
Fucking hell. Previous episode with Big E. Jesus, there's a reason he's not been on suit since.
Seems like a lifetime ago that, doesn't it?
Man, if I have to even think about that again, it'll be too soon. If you want to listen to us talk about a truly, truly bad film, The Ice Pirates with Big E from Modern Escapism. Yes, if you want the chance to vote next month, you can give us a quid. It's just a pound, or a dollar, or a dollar, I got a dollar. I'll buy that for a dollar. Or a euro or whatever. I don't know, whatever your local fucking monies is, a quid to us. And that allows you some extra bits and pieces that we've done. We've got over 10 hours worth of bonus episodes, but also allows you a shout out in every episode as and when I actually remember to put your name in it. we're in February now, so March will be the next chance. That will be coming up in the next couple of weeks for people to have a bit of a vote in. Okay, John, shall we get started?
Let's crack on.
Let's do so. Okay. So, we open a Michael Douglas production, John.
Yeah, no, huh?
Now, I looked this up and I thought, that's a bit of a basic bitch title for a production company. And it doesn't exist. It's not a thing. But Michael Douglas Productions, also known as Further Films, which started out in 1997 and includes such classics as One Night at McCool's,
nice.
Swim Fan, and The Sentinel. Yuck.
Bloody hell, Swim
In
Fan.
Fact, I might have gone to the cinema to see The Sentinel, you know.
Did you really?
I think I might have done, yeah. Eva Longoria, Jesus Christ. How does she keep getting work?
I know how.
it's Robert Zemeckis' film, this
yeah,
one,
Yeah, Zims.
He was fired from Cocoon when the producer saw a rough cut of this.
Yes, I read that. I thought, oh my God.
So I was very much into that. Right. This cowboy breaks down this door.
Yes.
This character's called Groban, or as I've written, non-union Gabriel Byrne.
That's a good show, actually.
What's it gonna be, Angelina? You can die quick as a snake, or slower than molasses in January. Okay.
What?
Molasses is a sugar syrup obtained from boiling down sugar cane. Unlike highly refined sugars, molasses allegedly contains significant amounts of vitamin B6 and minerals, including calcium, magnesium, iron, and manganese, whatever that might be.
Right.
One tablespoon provides up to 20% of the recommended daily value of those particular nutrients.
Good to know. Yeah.
The expression slow as molasses in January is an Americanism for someone or something that is painfully slow.
Slow. Yeah.
due to the high viscosity, that's a good word, of commonly available molasses at room temperature, the liquid pours slowly. The line is in another film, though, John.
Is it?
Yeah, Gone with the Wind.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's in Gone with the Wind. And it's used to describe somebody as being particularly dull.
Don't give a damn.
Yeah.
They had saddles, didn't they? So I was looking
up
saddle bags.
Yeah, okay.
I thought, oh man, these would be expensive. So I can pick you one up for $35. Would you like a saddle bag? They're not made of leather anymore. It's just basically like Gore-Tex and zips.
Right, okay. Gore-Tex, I guess, and that's zips. What you want. I found some. I did find some leather ones. Randall's brown leather double western saddle bags, $72.99 on equineworld.co.uk.
Nice.
But I'm with you. I think I prefer the Gore-Tex ones.
Yeah, yeah. God, buffing that leather all the time.
This is basically one of Joan Wilder's books that she's narrating, isn't it?
Yes.
He's after the money that she's got in her pair of saddlebags. But first he wants his way with her. As Angelina starts to undress, she has a throwing knife in her gusset.
Yep. Right in the gusset.
Which I quite liked. And that was the end of Gargan. The man who killed my father, burnt my ranch, shut my dog, and stole my Bible. My dad was really into that. She jumps onto a horse and gets chased by his brothers, only for Jesse, her beloved, to shoot them all, and they ride off into the sunset.
Yep, as they do.
Yeah. I really, really did miss anybody in this going, "That's my boy," which would have been really good to a horse. But you don't get that reference because you've still not played Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah. I've got it. I've just no had the time.
You need to get on it, mate.
And I've just downloaded Silent Hill short message as well.
Oh, that's right. Pick up some time. Oh, good for you. We meet Joan Wilder properly. She is this nerdy Joan Wilder character. She's terribly unattractive, isn't she?
Yeah, and this eye, which is weird.
She's gorgeous, even when she's dowdy. But I guess the reason she's so dowdy is she never got over her brother, Gene, murdering all those kids in his chocolate factory.
Oh, God. You had to go there, didn't you?
I had to go there, yeah. I did get a golden ticket, so I had to go there.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a Blazing Saddles thing there, but no.
She's like me, John. She needs post-it notes to remember anything.
Yes.
And she's a snotty mess reading the end of a book. It's so good, it made her cry. She has this beautiful little Colin Robinson cat called Romeo.
I've seen that.
And did you see what she did to celebrate?
Oh, does she have a miniature? A little miniature?
Yeah. How hard are miniatures to open?
I know. To be honest, I always thought there was 25mm miniatures, but there's 50.
50mm miniatures. Yeah, it's a double, isn't it? Yeah.
I've never really had miniatures before. Just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because you want to save a few quid. You buy in bulk. The problem is then when I buy in bulk, I drink in bulk.
I drink the bottle.
Apparently, according to her her posters, she's won a Romance Book Club Award, which is not a real award.
Yeah, double check that. You latch on to anything in this show, don't you? As soon as you see something like, oh, I wonder if that's real.
Yeah, I wonder if that's real. No. Why, John? Why must Romance in the Stone lie to us?
Liars.
After they finish, she throws the glass and plate into the fire. She doesn't look Greek. Oh, she gives... Yeah, so she gets this little miniature. And Colin gets this, what, tin of tuna?
A tin of tuna? Yeah, I keep
calling
him
Colin.
Tuna.
He's called Romeo. I keep calling him Colin. Yeah. I mean, that cat's dead now. There's very little doubt about
it. No,
not what? Just because it's eating full tins of tuna every day.
Her voice isn't as deep as in Friends, to be fair.
Jessica Rabbit.
I'm Jessica Rabbit.
She'd not had quite so many fags at
cigarettes,
this point.
But I looked up the person with the lowest voice, and it's a guy called, what name, Tim Storms. He holds okay. the Guinness World Book record for the lowest voice on the planet.
Right, okay. It's so low it feels like an earthquake, that kind of.
Oh, aye. One of these sitting the speaker one even as soon as you sit in the speaker, like, ooh, that's nice.
Like a washing machine.
Like a vibrating bus. We all know what that's like.
Sure we do, John. Sure we do. Next morning, a phone rings and wakes her up. When she answers, the line goes dead. She's late for a meeting with her publisher. As she's leaving, this old lady down the corridor, who sounds like Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist, did she?
Oh,
she
yeah.
gives her a parcel from a lover, and it's got loads of cool-looking foreign stamps on it.
Oh, yeah.
This bit weirded me out, by the way. She leaves the house, and on the street, this hawker's trying to sell her this monkey puppet.
I know.
Like, what is going on in New York City? It's kinky. Your boyfriend will love it.
A bit too kinky.
Meanwhile, a shady-looking guy's trying to break into Joan's apartment. But the super disturbs him, and he gets shivved for it, doesn't he?
Aye, with a flick knife.
Yeah.
So I double-checked. Flick knives are not legal in Colombia, just so you know.
Oh, right, but they are legal in New York City.
Although you get fined for it, which is weird. Or here you would get bloody hold to cows, but aye, you would get a fine if you got caught with a knife over there.
Nice. At dinner, her editor's eyeing up all these men at the bar for Joan, including, mm-hmm. did you spot this no lines cameo from Ted Raimi?
No.
Sam Raimi's brother. Yeah, no. He's there. It's Ted Raimi. but she's going, wimp, loser, major loser, too angry, too big, too desperate, oh my God, too happy. I kind of liked that. She's not interested. She knows there's someone out for her, just like her character, Jesse,
I know. Oh, by the way, just so you know, there was no help waiting back in the 80s. I double-checked. I knew there wasn't going to be, but I double-checked to see if there was any sort of clubs or anything like that in the 80s, but there was nothing. You literally had to go out and fend for yourself back then.
All right, okay, fair enough. Joan hands Gloria the book. She's leaving, and Gloria tries to convince her to stay for another grasshopper. Green cocktail made with creme de menthe, creme de cacao, and double cream. Heart attack incoming, John, but at least I'll have fresh breath.
Exactly, that just sounds gross, doesn't it?
It looks rank and it sounds rank.
It looks like a limeade float, doesn't it? With ice cream in it.
We learn that her sister Elaine is in Colombia and she's not heard from her in a while. We cut to Elaine shutting up a house and leaving in this lovely red car.
A 1981 Shelby Cobra.
Yeah.
It's a replica, but oh my God, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's stunning. I don't think I'd want to drive something quite this small and low to the ground on these Colombian roads.
Nah,
these Cartagenian roads.
If you look, was Inspector Morse with his lowrider?
Lewis. As she's driving away, there's this kid. Is he skipping or something? And then all of a sudden, it turns into a bowler weapon.
Yeah,
it gets
around
the neck.
Yep, it's like James Bond, isn't it? Like, Jesus Christ.
Honestly, who throws a skipping rope? bolas are weighted ropes used to throw and entangle legs of animals and baddies. The Incan army are thought to have used them in battle.
There you go.
This kid, after doing his best Panthro from Thundercats impression, throws her in the car and drives it to the dock, where she gets bundled into a boat. From the dock, we see a younger Danny DeVito, Ralph,
yeah.
and his cousin Ira watching on. The intention is for them to get a big sting, one last score. Meanwhile, Ira's feeding alligators through a grate.
Yeah, I looked that up and it's not a thing. I was like, oh man, is that an actual thing over there? Like, no, it's no. Actually, they started filming over in Colombia, but then had to move because of the kidnapping. So it's filmed in Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico and Utah.
Yeah.
Where they don't allow music. this is the only produced screenplay, by the way, for writer Diane Thomas. She'd been working as a waitress in a cocktail bar in Malibu when producer Michael Douglas optioned her script for $250,000,
yeah.
which allowed her to quit her job. The sad bit is she died in a car crash 7 weeks before the opening of the sequel.
Yeah, that's horrid, man. It's a bloody shame.
In the Porsche that Michael Douglas had gifted her after this was such a success.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking
grim, innit?
The lick out of death, right enough, eh?
Yeah, I don't know why we're laughing at that. It's not funny.
I know, but what are the odds? There's a gift for you. Yeah.
Back at her apartment, Joan sees it's been ransacked. Ransack's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one. Rose after tongue.
Yeah. Elaine calls and explains that she's in trouble. She asks about the envelope. It's got a treasure map inside. Elaine says she needs it delivered to the Hotel Cartagena in, you guessed it, John, Botaga. No, in Cartagena, of course. There is no Hotel Cartagena in Cartagena.
Cartagena.
John.
No, I don't think there would be.
Not. But then
just a red lion. Just a red lion in there.
I assume Hotel California isn't in Florida either.
True.
But you can stay, John, in Hostel 1033 for £5 a night.
Nice.
Further important information about the city from Lonely Planet. Do avoid walking round at night alone at all costs, and neighbourhoods outside of the touristy areas can be very unsafe. Ooh. Let's maybe give that £5 a night.
Let's not do it. I was looking up the public transport. So it says the public transport is quite good, but it says road crime in Colombia road crimes in Colombia are more likely to occur in the middle of nowhere, on desolate highways between minor towns, and the routes between the major cities are generally okay. But I watch yourself in the middle of nowhere, which is where you don't want to be in Colombia. Okay. In the middle of fucking nowhere.
And where she ends up. Yeah. Alan Silvestri, by the way, has composed the music for every Robert Zemeckis directed film since this one. This was the first one that they worked together.
Nice.
Later on, Gloria explains that she can't go because she needs shots, and that she gets car sick and bus sick and sick in Bloomingdale's. She says, I have to go, she's my sister. She jumps in a cab and is followed by the ethnic looking chap that mullered the super earlier on.
Yep.
John, if you are going to Colombia, it is recommended that you have shots for hepatitis A, tetanus, diphtheria, hepatitis B, rabies, typhoid, yellow fever.
Rabies right in the middle there.
Rabies
the
still,
rabies.
This Jesus. Day and age.
Neither want to get Cujo, do they?
I didn't realise you were going. You're obviously going via France. In Colombia, it looks like a third world country. Goats, chickens and baduns.
Yeah.
It looks like New York City before Paul Kersey and Rudy Giuliani cleaned it
exactly,
up.
Exactly, aye. I was expecting to see Indiana Jones running through with his whip, just start whipping everybody.
I mean, this is a massive Indiana Jones rip-off. Whip-off, perhaps.
Ooh, I read up about that. Apparently, the screenplay was written 5 years before Indiana Jones. So,
oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so that's a misconception, because I thought that as well. I thought, this is Indiana Jones written all over it, but apparently this was written before.
It wasn't written before Alan Quatermain and the Cities of Gold, though, was it?
No, it was not.
Which arguably Indiana Jones is a rip-off of. Richard Chamberlain? True. Sharon Stone? Does that ring any bells? I'm not making that up, am I? That's a real thing.
Is that King Solomon's Mines?
That's King Solomon's Mines. That's the one. Jesus. Future episode? Question mark? When everyone else is doing Indiana Jones, should we do that?
We'll do that, yeah. We'll go off-piste. We'll take the other route on the Goonies map.
Off-piste? Are we doing ski school?
What?
Snowy? Can't say I've seen it. Joan gets on the wrong bus, instructed by the bad guy that's followed her. In fact, this bloke looks like Scatman John. He's got the hat and everything.
I thought it was like a Omar Sharif lookalike.
He does look really a little bit like Omar Sharif, like our friend Dan. Doesn't look like Omar Sharif. Ralph sees her get on the wrong bus, which looks like it's heading to a level of the Uncharted video games, doesn't it?
Aye.
Like that mountain we ended up driving up in Cuba on the fucking little minibus. Jesus, my heart was in my arse.
Jesus.
She's walking down the bus looking for someone that speaks the language, but not before stepping on a pig. She distracts the bus driver long enough for him to crash into this jeep and crates of birds.
Yeah.
which most of them fly away, except for some of the locals just pick up these crates and run off. What a bunch of pricks. As she starts to walk, the bad guy's there, he explains, there's no need to walk, another bus will be along, there are schedules to be maintained, even in Colombia. All right, mate. I mean, say what you want about General Zolo or whatever he's called, at least he made the buses run on time.
He's really passionate about the
he does love it. He's like the mayor of London, desperate to make sure that the tube keeps going. Once everyone has gone, he pulls a gun on her, demanding her bags. We see a shadowy figure further up the mountain, and they begin this firefight whilst Joan hides under the bus. Scatman John does a runner, and the stranger sees his birds are missing and his jeep's wrecked. Scatman John then pulls over Ralph in the world's smallest car, by the way.
Yeah. I thought it was a Fiat 500.
It's a Renault 4L.
Yeah.
I assume you could probably still buy one, but I didn't want to, so I didn't look it up. It's the last thing I want. My car's small enough, thanks very much. He shows him a police badge and commandeers him to drive him. Joan's speaking to the character Jack, and this is Michael Douglas, of course, and explains she needs to get to Cartagena. Jack is not interested in helping until she offers to pay him. After some bartering, they get to $375 in American Express traveller's checks, which is of an age. We have done traveller's checks before, but something that I know we haven't done is Travelex stopped selling traveller's checks in 2008. Some banks and agencies will no longer cash them, but if you still have any, you can send them to Travelex's Peterborough HQ and they'll cash them and charge you 7%.
What?
What a bunch of bastards.
Oh, that's fucking bad enough, isn't it?
Isn't it? Bloody isn't it bastards. Just? Bloody bank.
Bastards.
Bastard. No bastard.
Does he not say, Jack, does he say at one point that he should have been a cosmetic surgeon?
Yes, he does.
Is it 500,000 a year?
Yeah.
So I was looking it up, but surgeons now, cosmetic surgeons, or especially ones in America, the salary ranges between 353 and 431,000. So he was way up.
He was, absolutely.
This was 84, man.
Hollywood Hills, though, maybe, yeah?
true. The upper echelons of fakery. With Bruce Campbell up there.
Very good. Man, I don't hate that. I don't hate Escape from LA quite like everybody else does. And I watched it for the first time only about 10 years ago. And do you know what? I had a fucking great time. I just wish someone had cleaned up the CGI.
Yeah, see if they remaster that and clean up the CGI. I think it'd be a lot better. Yeah. Maybe we should put that forward because it ruins the film. See at the beginning when they're surfing on that, whatever that is meant to be, water, it just didn't.
On the lava. Carpenter doesn't give a shit, man. He's busy sat there playing fucking survival horror films. Modern Warfare. He doesn't care. He's like, mate, I'll turn up and play the fucking zither for fucking 20 minutes and you can pay me millions.
Yeah. And we will. Anyway. We would.
Yeah, of course we would. Absolutely. If there's a chance to go and see him again, I absolutely would. At the police station, we learn that Scatman is indeed a cop, General Zolo, who I'm pretty sure is the bloke that Superman sends to the Phantom Zone. I'm not sure. Yeah. He'd look a little bit like him. In the rain, Joan's keeping Jack back. He throws her case away down this mountain, and as they carry on, they both fall down the mountain in this mudslide. It's basically the adult version of the Goonies water slide, but with bonus Michael Douglas burying his face in her minge at the end. Binge,
exactly, right in there.
Which, as we all know, is how he got throat cancer. That's what he kept telling people, right?
Yeah. You got the big C, didn't you? Catherine?
Clitoris.
Oh, we've got a bad fire, man. Jesus Christ. This is a Sunday as well, we're not even drinking.
Ralph, maybe we should. Ralph calls his cousin from the police station. He's like, they're mobilising Iro Jima here. which I don't know why it made him sound like he's slamming on a cab. I was talking to Elaine, explaining that Zolo is the man that killed her husband. He has a secret police and that they're looking for Joan. Now, I'm going to be honest. We then see them mobilising. Like, from now on, he's got loads of cops or loads of army in all these things. They don't look very fucking secret to me.
No,
they look pretty. They look pretty fucking out there, don't they? Joan's struggling to keep up, so Jack machetes the heels off of her shoes. So, oh, they were Italian. Now they're practical, which I like a lot. It's a great line. Zolo appears up the hill with cops, and they start shooting at them. They escape on foot, pursued by the bad guys. What did you do? Wake up this morning and say, I'm going to ruin a man's life? Okay, yeah. They reach an ancient bridge over a ravine. Whilst Jack's holding them off, Joan slowly starts to cross. It's as well put together as that rope bridge in Temple of Doom, by the way.
Aye, yeah, so much.
Stock footage of alligators at the bottom, ripping apart some fucking paper. The bridge snaps and she grabs a rope, which takes her across. Jackie Boy tries the same and clatters into a wall. It really is Temple of Doom at this point. Zolo and his men spot Jack as they climb to safety. This is the bit where he says, I wish I'd listened to my mother and been a surgeon. It's pretty good. I like this. It's absolutely pissing it down. Real monsoon weather, and Jack gives Joan the machete. And it's like she's cutting through paper, like she's she's really gently doing it. She slices this huge leaf, and they come across a skeleton.
Yep.
It's a crash cargo plane full of drugs. And she's like, marijuana? And he says, oh, you smoke it? She goes, well, I did go to college. It's probably my favourite, my favourite retort. They locate a bag with a bottle of booze in it, which is not a miniature, and a jar of olives or pickles or something.
That she's eaten.
When pressed, Joan explains she's here to see her sister and comfort her since her husband died. She explains she's a romance novelist, and he says, romance novelist my ass. It's probably Milhouse. So, John, with that in mind, I thought I would do some looking up and see if I could find some titles for romance novels. The worst titles, John, for romance novels.
Right,
so I got five of them, and you've got to tell me. I'll give you the title, and I'll give you a little synopsis, and you need to tell me which of them are real and which are not. So there's five facts up for grabs here.
Okay.
Right. We'll start with something relevant to your interests. Mad Bad and Dangerous in Plaid. Two kilt makers in the Highlands are driven to a turf war over ownership of a design. The last thing they expected was for love to blossom over a patent rights dispute. Is it real or made up? Have I made it up?
Something you would make up, though. I'm going to go real.
John, it's real. It's a real book.
Yeah, boy.
Grace Before Meat. The Reverend John Alford is a regular in his village butcher. Then one day, a new apprentice arrives in the form of beautiful Emily Bones, and love blossoms over the lamb shanks.
Fuck off. That's going to be fake.
John, it's real.
Oh, fuck off. Love blossoms over the lamb shanks.
Number three, Aroused by Two Lions. A chance encounter while on a day trip to Whipsnade brings more than Elsa bargained for.
There's not much in that. You're not giving much away. Fake.
John, it's real.
Oh, for fuck off.
Penultimate one. Emily's Magical Bejeweled Codpiece. Tudor historian Emily discovers the costume department of the museum contains a secret door to the court of King Henry VIII, and adventure awaits.
Real.
John, it's real.
Fuck.
And finally, A Beginner's Guide to Rakes. When Susan gets her first allotment, she's confused by the range of garden DIY tools on offer at her local home base. Fortunately, Roger is there to lend a hand.
Roger the Raker?
Roger the apparently.
I'm going to say that's real.
John, it's real. They were all real.
Oh, fuck.
They were all absolutely real. I managed to find a blog that had the titles of them. And actually, it got to a point where I was writing them down, and I honestly didn't believe them. This is thesimplethings.com/blog. I honestly didn't believe that they were real. I was certain they weren't real. So I've Googled each and every one of them, and they are real and available. Real. Listeners, if you want to get involved with Beginner's Guide to Rakes, feel free. Yeah, I might buy one of these.
Just make sure you don't put any typos in that last one. I'm trying to bloody find it.
I might buy one of these and read it out on the patrons thing. I am going to do that. I am going to buy one of those and read it out. In fact, I'm going to throw that as a vote into the chat.
Are you going to read it in the style of Morgan Freeman?
I wish. So I'm going to throw that into the in as a patron's choice for people to decide which one they want to do. If you're not a patron and you are listening to this, get involved, because not only will you get to listen to that, but you'll get to vote for the one that you want to do. Okay, right. Anyway, let's get back to the film and away from the sillies. 3 out of 5, John. Not so bad at all.
You're good.
When rooting through her bag for matches, he finds the map which says El Corazon, which is Spanish, John, for the heart. And that's a fact. And that's a thing. And I'm writing it down.
Well, romancing the stone is a jeweller's term. It's a real... That's what it means.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's a jeweller's term to stage... I think it's the way they put the rings to stage a gem.
Oh, brilliant. So,
romance
in
the stone.
I bought it off those gypsies with a bunch of moody gold. they threw in the romance in the stone with a bunch of moody gold. Moody gold. Moody fantastic. Gold. Jack suggests that they get El Corazon and they can bargain for Elaine's life. She explains he's not a real man. Real men are honest, forthright, and trustworthy. She starts berating him, and he slams the machete into the wall behind her. Not out of anger, but for killing a snake!
Yeah, Bushmaster 3000, actually. turned it as a real snake as well. I thought he was taking the piss.
Yeah, it's also known as Lachelys. It's a viper.
Aye.
And is indeed very, very poisonous.
Very.
Machetes, John, I know we've done. But to add a cheery fact, many of the killings in the 1994 Rwandan genocide were performed with machetes, as they were the primary weapon used by the Interahamwe militia there.
Ah, nice.
Happy day. Ken O'Bowen in the UK, no, machetes were banned in the UK in 2023, as were zombie knives.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. Unless that was in my head. Pretty sure I've done that joke before. First time I've done that joke. He's only got 5 jokes.
The most poisonous snake in Colombia is the Bonthrop asper.
Easy for you to say.
I know, the proper name, I'm not going to try
Triceratops.
Triceratops. Purple bugler alarm.
Indeed. The Bushmaster is poisonous but tasty, he says. I looked for farmed meat in Stirling, John. I thought, surely you've got a butcher's in Stirling that you can get snake. You can't. But I did find Rendell's Butchers in Stirling, where you can buy buffalo, zebra, kangaroo, and wait for it, cheval, horse.
No, what?
Yeah, John, next time, when we come up in the summer, we'll have a barbecue, I'll go and buy us some fancy meats, and we'll have a bit of
get
a taste
of
from Rendell's. I'd eat, look, if you're going to eat fucking, I don't know, if you're going to eat beef, you might as well eat horse.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
If you can eat a horse, you can eat a man. If you can eat a man, you can eat...
I'll kill him for your bar, I'll eat your baby. The other white meat.
Get in my belly.
I want my baby that. Jesus.
Where's this going?
Where indeed? They have this brilliant fire, by the way, made of bricks of weed, which I kind of liked. Jack explains that he traps and sells birds. He's also reading this old Rolling Stones magazine that they found. Oh no, the Doobie Brothers broke up. When did that happen? Which I liked a lot. The Doobie Brothers broke up in 1982, but reformed, John, in 1987. And were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2020, the same year as Whitney Houston, Biggie, the rapper, not the podcaster, T-Rex, and Nine Inch Nails.
Nice. Informed in 1970 as well.
They were indeed. Yeah. I recommend listeners that you listen to their music. Anyway. he came to Colombia on a coffee boat and he loves the ocean out there alone. The plan is to save up for a boat and sail around the world. We discover at this point his name's Jack T. Colton. The T is for trustworthy. Alright, wanker. Probably Tiberius though, isn't it?
Probably.
Joan passes out and Jack sees the next stop is the Devil's Fork.
Yep, fork this.
Yeah.
I mentioned the silver-crested cockatoo.
Oh, right, okay.
Back in the day, I can pick you one up for £1,600 at Pets for Home right now. Do you want one?
Yeah, well, Colin and Rogue would fucking love that, man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the thing would stay alive for very long in this house.
Nah.
Well, with Rogue anyway, Colin's useless. Colin would be scared of it.
Oh, poor Colin.
Next day, they make it to a village. The locals, drug runners, are not particularly friendly, as one might expect. Joan, however, explains they need a car. He says the only car in the village is Juan, the bellmaker. They head to this rustic farmhouse and knock. Jack explains they need a car. The bellmaker pulls out a gun on them. And he's like, okay, Joan Wilder, write us out of this one. He's like, John Wilder? The John Wilder? He reads her books and tells his men another line I like a lot. This is Juanita Wilder, who writes the books I read you on Saturdays.
That's right.
Like, his men are obviously none of them read English or probably read at all.
Yeah.
He invites them in, and through this rustic front is this palatial villa.
Nah, with the sun loungers and the booze.
Yeah, absolutely. Just then, General Zod turns up in the village asking for the gringos.
Mm-hmm.
Gringos, of course, white people. There you go. Juan gives Jack a copy of Joan's book, but all he wants is a Xerox machine. Do you have a Xerox machine? Yes, but she is broken. I don't have a car. I have my little mule Pepe. Which, yeah. I was like, okay, great. But then smash cut to the general and his men arriving as Juan drives them through the gates. In this massive fucking Ford Bronco.
Yep, 1982, big man.
82 one. Yeah, absolutely. Launched in 1966, the first time Ford had an SUV. they stopped making them in 96, but then started again in 2021 because Americans must have the largest possible car.
Yeah, need a big car.
Never really got that. I like having a little car. I like bombing around in my little A1. It's good.
Yeah,
you've got a big car now, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a big car wanker now, but it's modest. It's modest, mate. Yeah. It's modest.
It's modest. I know how much you pay for it. It's not fucking modest. He does this massive 3-point turn, and he's like, I can't hurt my favourite pig. and he drives through fields to lose the general's men. They blow up this canister on the back of it, don't they?
Yeah,
this petrol canister on the back. And he goes, don't worry, my little mule Pepe, she is fireproof.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, fireproof cars, is it? Not a thing.
Not a thing. Yeah, yeah. I've double checked.
Fireproof cars.
Because is it the Range Rover Discoveries have got their things now? So you see them, they've got petrol canisters on the side. You're thinking, when are you ever going to use that?
Yeah, realistically? I think that's an optional extra as well. I think you pay more for that. And you think, what is wrong with you? How small is your fucking dick?
You need to get jerry cans.
How wide is your vagina? I guess is a wide vagina the same thing as a small dick? I don't know. Right, listeners, help us out, please. Fireproof cars obviously are not a thing, but I also learned electric cars are considerably less likely to catch fire. But when they do catch fire, they burn hotter and for longer because of the battery.
Nice. Yeah. God.
So I guess if you're cold on a night, set fire to a few electric cars.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They jump the river with this remote control ramp, which I loved, by the way, and it becomes a barrier which stops the general's men from going across it. He agrees to drop them at the next town where the bus will take them to Cartagena on the next day. Because, of course, schedules must be maintained in Scatman's
world.
Jack notices...
The fork.
The devil's fork from the map.
Yeah, yeah.
They arrive in town. Ralph spots. Oh, before that, by the way, this guy, Alfonso Arau, that plays Juan, I was like, where do I know him from? He's the bad guy in Three Amigos, El Guapo.
Oh, bloody hell, so he is. I'm like, I know that bloody face. That's not get going with Omar Sharif.
But he's also the voiceover of Scar, the snake, in the Spanish dub of The Jungle Book.
Ah, right, okay.
There you go. How nice. Do you like them apples? As they arrive in the town, Ralph spots them and explains to Ira that they're there. Because he's going, look, let's just give up. Let's give up. You know, you've no chance of finding them. They could be absolutely anywhere. And then they walk past him.
You're the luckiest like, man alive.
Yeah, it's a good line. Jack checks them into the room in the hotel and asks the guy for a Xerox machine. He says, absolutely, we have it. Of course we've got a Xerox machine. Instead of running off, he checks them in to a room in the hotel and sticks around and buys them new clothes. That night they meet for dinner. He's dressed like a Bee Gee in the Staying Alive video, by the way.
He really is, isn't he?
And the hair as well.
Yeah.
Mikey looks like his dad here. He really does.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Like Kirk Douglas. Yeah. But absolutely not as handsome. I mean, I'm not saying Kirk Douglas was like a gorgeous, gorgeous man, but he was kind of like a face made of rock, wasn't he? Michael Douglas looks a bit pudgy. Yeah. he hands her a gift. It's a heart on a gold chain, El Corazon. So, you know, here's the romance.
Nice guy.
It's like some sort of carnival, by the way. They dance together and Ralph appears, sneaking under tables to grab the bag. Some woman collars him and he looks up and goes, I lost my langostino! Which is langostine or prawn, of course. There you go.
Well, apparently that dance scene was apparently meant to be shot without Michael Douglas knowing. I'm not buying it.
No, not in your life.
No way. They're saying it's always the makers was standing with a camera. Well, he was dancing with a couple of the extras and I'm like, nah, no chance.
Shut up. What a load of rubbish. I'm not buying that either. By the way, this woman batters the fuck out of Danny DeVito
really does
here. Like she done off. Some really good acting, or she really hates it.
She really hates Danny DeVito. I hate Taxi.
It's not that funny. I'm not a big fan of Taxi. I prefer Cheers. Cheers is much funnier.
Oh, aye. Yeah.
Anyway. So, arguably better actors in Taxi. As the dance ends, he dips her and they kiss. See, John? The dip works.
The dip,
bang. The fucking dip works. Not the one from a further Robert Zemeckis film. Not the dip! Kathleen Turner.
Oh, God.
That night in bed, he explains if he had the money, he'd take her away, around the world and back again. She asks why he hasn't taken the map. She saw the Devil's Fork and knows that he did too. He explains if they get the heart and then head to save her sister, they hold all the cards. She agrees, and as they kiss, he takes the map from under the mattress and puts it in his bag. Oh, he's a bad boy.
He really is.
The next morning, Scatman Zod arrives, and Jack and Joan jump into Ralph's little car, where he's sleeping in the back, by the way. What are you doing? I'm hotwiring the car. Try the key.
That was pretty funny.
The next stop is the shrine in the middle of nowhere. By the way, this looks like the entrance to the parochial house in Father Ted.
Yeah, it does a bit.
Which I thought was really, really weird. I hear you're questing for the heart, Father. Should we all become tomb raiders, as raising pig takes for time, and I'd like to have a coffee on a night. I'm not entirely sure why my Irish Colombian sounds probably like nothing. I don't know, it's Mark Wahlberg. They head into a cave under a waterfall, which is very, very basic bitch kind of writing.
Nah, it really is, isn't it? One little pool, that's it. One little pool.
Yeah, the pool of leche de la madre. Mother's milk.
Mother's milk, yeah. That's what it was, melted always... bat poo. It looked like that bloody nature calls, didn't it?
We were guano.
Guano.
Watch out, you'll end up dying like... what's her name? Kate Winslet in the bat poo contamination film.
Oh God, aye, Jesus.
Contagion or whatever it's called.
I blanked that from my memory. It's so bloody long. Took ages
again,
in the world, didn't it?
I went to the cinema to see that. What a fucking cheery night out that was.
I'll bet. Bet you didn't go for dinner after it though.
I certainly didn't have any pork products for the first day in about 15 years. Joan asks what it means, and he explains mother's milk. Not to be confused, of course, with the mother's milk in Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
They found a pool that looks like milk, and I assume it's monsters from the descent jizz.
Must be, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
That's the way they all jizz in the descent. Jack digs in the pool to find a package containing a bunny gnome type thing.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, she says, look, in the book I had, smash the statue and there'll be something in there. The book that she wrote was called Treasures of Lust, which you would have probably picked as not a real book in that quiz. Not. When Jack does, he finds the tackiest looking emerald I have ever seen.
Oh, it's, it doesn't even look real. It looks superimposed onto the screen as well, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, yeah. The biggest emerald ever, John, at the Kagem Emerald Mine in Zambia, or the Zambia, unearthed an extraordinary gem in 2021, a 7,525 carat emerald crystal, which weighed 1.5 kilos. It's the largest gem quality emerald ever found.
Wow, that's a lot of kilos.
Pretty much. Nearly as many kilos as me. Ralph had followed them. He pulls a gun. He tells Joan he's been honest in stealing the stone. At least he isn't trying to romance it from under you. Oh, we were so close,
so close.
So close.
Nearly won it.
To Danny
nearly
DeVito getting the award. Yeah. Just then, Ralph spots the general and his men and tries to run from them with the stone. I think they're running in the field where the...
Jurassic Park.
Where all the exactly. the Gallimimuses.
Gallimimine.
Jack jumps him. Jumps out of the car, doesn't he? Grabs him, which is pretty good. Jack and Joan escape as far as the river with the stone, but crash into the rapids, and the little car does its best deliverance going down the rapids.
Yeah, doesn't it?
But I loved especially the windscreen wipers going.
And her trying to steer in the water.
Yeah,
that was quite funny, actually.
They jump just as they head over the falls. When they finally make their way out the water, they're on opposite banks. She accuses him of doing it on purpose, which I don't think you could. He tells her to head towards the sunset and she'll make it. He'll meet her there. She starts arguing, but Scatman's army starts shooting at her, so they make for it. In the city, Joan makes it to the hotel and calls Ira. He agrees to let Elaine go if she brings the map. She calls reception to see if Jack checked in. And the line from the guy is, in the last 2 minutes, no.
No.
And again, it's quite sweet. That night, she takes the boat a boat to the old fortress where Ira's boat is. This boat, by the way, was called the Orca.
Oh, God.
Nice Jaws reference there.
Kill her name, man. Kill her name.
Oh, very good. He checks. Ira takes the map from her in this huge old fortress. Takes the map from her, checks the map's legit, and then does this kind of fake out, and he's like, "And so now I'm going to let you go."
I know.
Okay, great. But then Jack turns up with Zod firmly on his heels. Zod leads them all outside and explains the crocodiles shed tears when they eat, and he wants to test this. He cuts Joan's hand and drips her blood over the pit of creatures.
Yep.
Crocodiles, John, they do cry when they eat, but it's not because they're sad about eating. It's not because they've got an eating disorder like me. It's one of two things. It's either the production of so many tears is the result of the hisses and hoofs the animals make when devouring their prey. Mm-hmm. The behaviour forces air through the sinuses and stimulates the lacrimal gland to produce excessive tears. Some of the air escaping also produces the frothing and bubbling that is witnessed.
Yeah.
Or, when a crocodile bites down hard on their prey, this squeezes tears out of their tear ducts, which creates the weeping effect.
Ah, right.
One of those two. Science can't seem to decide. So, listeners, you pick.
You decide, yeah.
Absolutely.
Good. Don't try it out.
Jack tells Zod to let her go. He has the stone, but when he refuses to tell them where it is, a soldier uses his rifle to hit him in the balls, but it makes this clanking noise, doesn't it? And the stone falls out of his trousers. He throws it in the crocodile pit, but Zod intercepts it. It's a good catch, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It gets Captain Hook, doesn't he?
He does get Captain Hook. Yes, he does. He's got an arm off. The croc bites his hand off and takes the stone. This firefight ensues. But the whole time, Jack keeps an eye on the greedy croc. Ira escapes on the boat but leaves Ralph behind, and the exchange is, come back! He's like, I'll come back for you! When? Soon! That's good.
That's good.
Zod has Elaine and Joan cornered. Joan finds a knife and throws it at him, but he defends himself with this hunk of wood.
Yeah, just sticks in the wood, yeah.
Elaine faints again. She just basically just spends all her time fainting in this.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Jack is wrestling the Gator on this rampart, who's trying to get away with the stone. As Zod closes in on Joan, Jack lets go of the beast to shoot at him, but the gun isn't loaded. Joan finishes Zod off in a brilliant fashion, burning him with his own cigar and then hitting his bloody stump and setting him on fire.
And then pushing him into a pit.
As he falls through the grate into the Crocagators. It's a brilliant end and Jesus. A fantastic barbecue for those boys.
Yeah, no half. Quick meats.
Yeah. Here come the boat police, and Jack makes a hasty retreat, asking Joan not to mention his name to the police. He's a wanted man. He's like, you're going to be okay, Joan Wilder. You always were. And he dives off the wall and swims away. That's nice.
Yeah.
Back in New York, she's written the story, but with a happy ending where they meet at the airport and sail around the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
in her apartment building. The hawkers are still trying to sell her shit, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's a yacht parked in the street, which I assume it would never get a permit.
No, Jesus Christ, no.
Can you imagine finding parking?
for that in your truck right in front of you?
She spots the guy on the boat in crocodile shoes.
Jimmy Neal, right? Jimmy Neal.
Crocodile shoes, John. I did manage to find some, by the way. Black crocodile brogue toe cowboy boots, £595, on my favourite ever titled shoe website, arsoleshoes.com. The letter R and then SOLES.com. Arsoles.com.
Nice, I like it.
Crocodile Shoes, of course, was gold in the UK for Jimmy Nail in 1994. It was also 21st in Sweden and 16th in Ireland.
To be
Jimmy
sure.
Nail, music for people who don't like music, and an actor for people who don't like acting.
Yeah, true that.
He says that the shoes are made out of the crocodile that ate the thing. He died in my arms of a terrible indigestion. They kiss and head off down the road. Hey, I'm sailing here.
Looked a bit Ferris Bueller, didn't it?
Oh Jesus! Don't you mention that name in my fucking presence, John boy. And that is the end of that particular movie. Yeah. I had a great time with this, John. Thank you for picking this one, patrons.
Yeah.
Because I had certainly a much better time with this than I think I probably would have done 51st Dates.
True that. You've done us a favour for once. Thank you so much.
Yeah, instead of picking a film we didn't want to do, which you are usually very good at, patrons.
You bunch of arseholes.
you shoe shop-owning bastards. fantastic. John, do you have any more facts?
Yeah, so they said that the bell's tolling. So expression tone is derived from the English tradition of telling of a death by signalling a bell.
Oh, right, wow.
So when the bell tolls, that's where it comes from.
You're a bell.
And that's it. Yeah, but okay. we pretty much had the same facts, to be fair.
Yeah, I think so. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure I've missed something, but you know what? We don't always do all the facts, do we? So like, while I top them up, do you want to guess how many we got?
Ooh. Solid 76.
Oh, John, 69.
What?
Nice.
Like
probably
it, like
our
it.
Lowest in a while. Probably our lowest in a while. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit?
You can't have romance with it at 69.
It's my favourite kind of romance, I'll tell you. Fantastic. So yes, thank you so much for listening. If you give us a quid, you can vote again, but most importantly, you will get a shout out, which is obviously very, very important, especially when I find somewhere here the names of the people that are getting a shout out. We have got Kieran, Jake, the lovely Rob Jones, Jen, Megan, Dale, Ali, Maria, Paul, Ian, Emily, Nigel, Dan, Aaron, by the way, Aaron's coming back with more Z1 podcast, Joe, Punk, Biggie said three mentions this week, fucking hell, Mono, Ian, Gav McGill, Gav Belson, Josh, Stig, Gadget, Rachel, and Phil. thank you so much for your money. We are it bought the new microphones.
Exactly. And your phones, so thank you so much.
Oh, did it buy you new earphones, did it? I wonder where those have come from.
Yeah, these are the ones, aren't you?
Look at it. Nice one, good work, lads. I'm still using the same headphones I've been using since we started. Maybe in a couple of months I'll upgrade. John, do you want to say some final things to the fantastic listeners?
Well, we're going to let them know what we're going to do next time, or are we going to keep
you've picked the film, haven't you? No, you've picked a film, go for it.
Yeah. We're going to do The Hard Way with Michael J. Fox and James Woods.
A film I've never seen, listeners. Yeah, a film I've never seen, so this will be either really fun or really terrible.
Or really
I don't
shit.
So thanks for picking that one, John. I will pick the one after that. But yeah, we're gonna do a few films that we love. Which not necessarily going to be great films, but we are picking films that we're really, really keen on doing, and we've got a backlog of a massive number of
films.
We've
got loads. We say this every week.
We add a new film every week.
We'll actually need to listen to the shows and actually go through what films we mention on the shows. To be fair,
Rachel does that, by the way. Does that every time she hears us mention a film that we're going to do. She adds it to a list, so she's got a list on her phone.
Oh,
so I'll send you that
list. Yeah, please.
I'll send you that list. We'll start picking some off that. Until we finally get round to doing that, it might be this week, it might be the following week, we'll see how busy we are. This has been 69.6 Soixante-Neuf Things We Have Learned From Romancing Your Stones. See ya.
See ya, guys.